B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and goal to go
at the one. Brady, handoff, Woodhead left. Touchdown! Pats have come all the way back.
Unicorns, show ponies, it's time to get crazy. We're getting loopy in Foxborough, and the nut jobs that have stayed love every minute of it. That's right.
Holy cow. 92-yard drive.
Boom!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you ever saw Danny Woodhead play in the NFL, did you find out that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy?
I wonder if Danny's even sick of hearing that, because every broadcast they would have to mention that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy. Almost
twice.
Became a drinking
not
game
once,
after a while.
Not once, but twice he won the Harlan Hill Trophy. It is Mr. Danny Woodhead. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know the whole Harlan Hill deal? Mm-hmm. Those two trophies? They're in my kid's room, and they're like a chair. I mean, the football on top, you can unscrew it. They either hang their medals on it, or they sit down. When I took it home, when I initially won it, my parents were redoing their house, and it became a video game chair. So, I mean, it's really whatever. You call it the Harlan Hill, you call it the Harlan Seat, the Harlan Throne, and I don't care. But you call it what you want. I don't really care too much about that.
The way they talked about it, Danny, you would think that you wore it around your neck like Flavor Flav.
Well, because
it was the thing that defined you. And I'm like, he's like a really important part of this Patriots team, and you keep mentioning something he won years ago.
Yeah,
it was,
like you were
became
good.
Absurd.
You were good in the NFL.
Hey, guys, that's the thing, though, is – That's a cardinal sin in the Bill Belichick organization is to talk about the past anyways.
Good
right?
point. And,
oh, gosh. I mean, it's what you can do now. I don't know if either any of you guys have talked to me. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've been in New England. But the interview or the conversation you're getting today is drastically different than it was when I was in New England.
Did somebody pull you aside? Because you came from the Jets, which is obviously a fairly loose organization, especially when you were there. So did somebody from the Patriots pull you aside and go, all right, Danny, if you want to survive here and you don't want to get killed at the morning meeting, here's how you act. Was there ever that speech that you got?
No. The thing is, as you guys cringe as I mentioned his name, I was actually – my first year was with Eric Mangini.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very similar to the New England regime. So I kind of had been dunked underwater with that already. And I knew – so, I mean, I just wanted a job, guys. So then when New England signed me, I'm like, well, I guess we're going back to that. But, hey, I got a job. I know what to do. Stay as small as you can, which isn't very hard for me. But stay as small as you can. Don't say anything. And even after, I mean, a game we won and stuff, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to get better for tomorrow. It's like the game just got over. You can talk about the game a little bit. But I was, like, so terrified that I didn't really say much.
Now, when you went from Mangini to Belichick, because the big joke around here was that, boy, did Mangini try to be Bill Belichick and mimic his mannerisms and the way that he would speak.
Right.
And what's weird is that once Mangini started getting away from football and doing, like, commentary on TV, he seemed like a pretty, like, nice guy and, like, well-spoken and kind of funny. But, like, when you went from Mangini to Belichick, did you go, oh, now I see what Belichick Light was trying to do over here in New York?
Yeah, I think that's very similar. Eric's an incredible dude, actually. I know there's some bad things, bad experiences in the past between those two organizations. But as far as on a personal level, Eric's a great dude and really one of the better coaches I've ever been around. As far as a mind for the game, obviously you have Bill up there and you have Josh McDaniels and there's a couple other Frank Reich and Indy. There's a lot of really good coaches that I've been able to be around. But, yeah, I would say that's probably what some of the, you know, former Patriots coaches, they may run into. Because it's in order to be Bill, you have to have Bill's resume. And I think that's a tough thing sometimes if guys try to be too much like Bill. There's always going to – if I were to be a coach, which I'm not, I mean, let's not – we're on the air, but we're not talking about me ever being a coach because I don't want to. But if I ever were, there's a lot of things I would take from Bill. But I'd also be my own person because I couldn't be Bill.
No.
Not only do I not have that resume as a coach, but I also – that's not my personality, so why do it?
Yeah, you can't get away with that, like, because it's such a you think of these young coaches, they're all players coaches. Like, he's almost like the opposite of that when you first meet him and his personality, but because he's got all of that hardware, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because obviously this works. But can you imagine? You see this happen even with guys like, you know, Matt Patricia. He kind of tried to be that way in Detroit, and there was a lot of pushback at first. Now, I don't know whether that's going to work out or not. But I think a lot of these guys learn after a tough first year, dude, I got to step back a little bit. I can't be 100% Belichick, maybe 30% Belichick and 70% me.
Well, and I think the thing is, more than anything, is even if they're not going to be like Bill, leash is the right word, but the leash that the GM has to have on them needs to be a little bit longer, because there is going to be a culture shock regardless, because if you're in New England and then you go somewhere else and you see how things have been completely wrong in your eyes, it's going to be a while before some people buy in. It might be a year or two. Last year, do I think the Lions would have been significantly different if Matt Stafford would have been healthy? Yeah, they might have been a playoff team. So yeah. It's a little bit hard to judge on Matty P. Matty P is a great dude. I've heard some things down there, obviously, that come out in the media that you're like, oh man, that kind of stinks. That's how it's going. But who knows? I mean, all of those coaches can talk after their first job, or hopefully it's their only job. But and they can say, did I go too much, Bill, or did I go not enough? I look at Billy O down in Houston. Everyone's criticizing him, but let's also be frank and honest with ourselves. If you're a NFL owner, you're having your chest just puffed out if you've been to the playoffs that many times.
Well, Danny, we have Ted Johnson in studio, who was a linebacker for the team for many years. And his theory is that Gronkowski might have played longer if he had more fun. Like, he got just sick of, I don't know, injuries are a big factor, but he got sick of Bill Belichick. And then you hear Tom Brady and people saying about how much fun he's going to have playing for Bruce Arians, because Bruce Arians is a player's coach. Is that something that playing for the Patriots, that it just like wasn't fun, and you could see wanting to play for a different organization?
I'm not really sure, because I was only there for 3 years, guys. I mean, everyone thinks I was there for like 20, but I was only there for 3 years. And I was in a time where I'm just trying to make the team head down. Don't talk to anyone. I mean, I have great relationships with everyone there. Still coaches, though. But my focus was trying to make the team. So, like, I was in such a different headspace then. Yeah. Whereas when I got to San Diego, I don't want to say established myself, because I don't want to ever say I arrived, yeah, but I was definitely more established. I had more of a voice. So it was a completely just different environment for me personally, not San Diego versus New England, but I would say just me and my mental headspace, as far as like, okay, like, people like respect what I've done now.
Yeah.
Could that be a deal with Gronk or Tom? Sure, I think it could be that anywhere you play 20 years. Gronk's is a little different, not as long as Tom, that maybe you want to try something new. I don't know, but I follow the Pats still. They'd probably be my favorite team. And the thing is, like, I have no, like, there's nothing in me that's, like, mad at Tom. If anything, it's like, go do what you got to do. Like, when I played in the league, there was nothing. People are like, man, don't you wish you had played for one jersey? And I'm like, I don't know. I played for four. And I had a lot of fun, and I got to see the country. So mine's a little different. My legacy is not really important like Tom's. but as far as his legacy, he's still going to be known as a Patriot, regardless if he went down and won two Super Bowls in Tampa. Like, it doesn't matter. No one's going to ever take anything away from that. So, I don't know. It's a interesting deal.
Were you there? Yeah, you were right there in the early days of the Julian Edelman fascination with Tom Brady. You know that's obviously...
Oh, yes. Blast.
Okay,
oh, God,
so tell me about the early days of the one-way bromance of Julian Edelman to Tom Brady.
Well, you know what the thing is? Tom's great with everyone. So, I mean, it did help probably there. He was Northern California, but, you know, everyone wants to make fun of the bromance, but it's so understandable because Julian, at that point, hadn't, besides that, his rookie year when Wes was hurt, really hadn't had opportunities. So it's like he's doing everything he can to get trust from the quarterback, which, man, when I went to San Diego, who's the first guy I went and talked to? Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Because I was the same way. So I was like, I'm getting on the same page with this guy. Because
yeah, but
if
Danny,
I'm not
you didn't change your haircut to look like Phillip Rivers' haircut
when you got there.
I mean, Julian Edelman takes it to a new level, right?
Well, he makes Tom Brady shirts.
I just didn't love Phillip's hair, you know? it was number one. Like, everyone knew that he was – but like, it was so understandable because in this league – you go as the quarterback goes. If the quarterback's happy with you, at least in the really good organizations, then you're in a good place because you want to be on the same page. Like, I think Phil probably at the first part didn't know, like, what to think of me. I'm like, hey, like, what if I do this and I shorten my route by a yard, but I get to the same spot? Is that okay? Well, in some offenses, it's not okay. But I'll take you back to – and this is probably what made me like this, is I remember Tom one time, we were talking about a certain route, and I was like, well, it's a sit route. I can't move, and if it's man-to-man, how do I get open? He looked at me, he said, what? He said, if you're not open, you're no help to me. He said, you're not getting the ball, and you're not going to help me. So after that, this little Danny Woodhead started running routes a little bit differently and said, just get open. And so because of that, I wanted to be on the same page with Tom, so I wanted to be on the same page with Phil. So I totally understand what Jules was doing. Is he's just like, man, if I ever want to, you know, continue, like, and have a huge career, I need to get on the same page with 12.
Yeah, well, but it was kind of almost like that cartoon dog, like, hey, Spike, what are we going to do now? Spike, what are we doing? Spike, he kind of evolved into something a little more extreme than just getting on the same
after
page.
After you left the team, people became...
Next level, man.
Other players that were on the team speak very sarcastically about the
Minkovich
relationship.
Minkovich talks about it. Welker talks about how... I mean, they were making fun of him because he made his own JE11 logo after Tom Brady's TB12. I mean, it went next level, Danny. You obviously...
My guess. Though I will say this, knowing Jules, I feel like the JE11 might have been to make fun of Tom and not be Tom's Brady or Tom's branding type deal. If I know Jules, how I know Jules, that's my guess. But he's made some money off it, so who cares?
Right? He has that you can't deny that.
And he made millions of dollars off of this bromance. So I mean, I get it.
Now it's over. Now, Danny, are you in quarantine right now?
Well, I'm in quarantine right now because we left the state and not the rule, but I know a lot of like employers, they're saying, hey, if you leave the state, when you get back, just like don't do anything for 14 days. And so we're kind of in that mode right now. We're over a weekend, but I mean, we have four kids. We can still go for walks, stuff like that. I fortunately have some stuff in the backyard we can do. And man, so yeah, we are, but I think we'd be in some sort of quarantine anyways, just kind of try to be careful. My parents are 60. My grandparents are 80. And if somehow we were carrying something, I don't know if I'd be able to forgive myself if somehow that happened. It's kind of weird. Like you mentioned, I podcast now with Matt Floss, and he's a former 10-year NFL lineman. Well, thank goodness we have some recordings because 2 weeks out, that kind of would limit you. But so yeah, I'll get back into that. I've stayed busy with the podcast game. Not a lot of people probably know because I haven't really promoted it because I just want people to enjoy it, enjoy the content. It's called Out of Nowhere. We basically sit down and chill, have guests on, kind of interview them, kind of just have a conversation with them because, I mean, we're not very good at interviewing people. We're better with talking crap and laughing about things. So we have people on, we joke around, we hear their story that's out of nowhere. Because let's be honest, fellas, my story's out of nowhere in the middle of small town Nebraska. And Slauson's is kind of the same thing. He went to a prep school, Air Force prep school. Same deal. He did go to Nebraska, but as he says, is he's just a really, really huge human being that had no athletic ability. And so we're all out of nowhere, and then our conversations go from anywhere and everywhere. I mean, we started talking about diapers one day, and we went off for 10 minutes. So it's just fun. I mean, we like to enjoy ourselves. You guys seem to have a lot of fun on your show.
Sure, sure. And although right now it's a tiny bit of hell after the show's done, because just like you, we're at our homes. And I had read about you. So you were homeschooled till you were ninth grade, right? Did I read that correctly?
Heck yeah, man.
Okay,
bro,
how do you deal with that?
I social distance myself big time.
How do you give me some advice? Because our kids, obviously, they can't leave, and they're going to be doing stuff like on the internet, talking to people.
Right.
But how do you... Can you kind of give me a tip from that time, maybe your parents, a way that they figured out not to go insane with the kids constantly around the house?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Your kids are going to hate you, and you're going to hate your kids. that's just standard. So when you can get over that, then you guys both recognize that. Okay, you can start, you know, loving on each other a little bit more, but... you know, the biggest thing, it was the greatest time of my life. People are like, do you wish you would have went to school? And I don't, because now looking back, it's a lot easier now. But looking back, I have a great relationship with my parents. I have incredible relationships with my siblings where I'm talking to them every day.
Yeah.
Now, is it more important than my immediate family, my wife and my kids? No. But I still have a great relationship with them. And, as far as the educational stuff, I mean, man, it was kindergarten through eighth grade. It's not college. It's not med school.
Right.
There you can run into a few things in math, but my dad taught me math, and he was good at math. If I'm going to give you any advice, mm-hmm. and this may sound crazy, is enjoy it. Because there's going to be a time when those kids don't want to be around you. You know, and it still
that's
might
already
even,
happened to me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's kind of probably happening already.
Sure.
But like, we
and
have.
By the way, sixth grade to my son, it might as well be medical school.
So, but my oldest, like, there's plenty of days. We have four, so like, me and my wife are looking at each other and we're like, "What the heck is going on?" Just yesterday, I looked at my wife. I go, "Now I get why my mom was crazy. I get why my mom was going crazy because it is hard, but." The thing that I have to keep telling myself is, you know what? 5-6 years from now, they're not gonna want to be around me as much. And if people talk about Y2K, you remember where you were, you remember everything, or 9/11, or like all these huge times in the history of our country, mm-hmm. you remember where you're at. And I read this thing on Twitter. If people are gonna talk to you about what do you remember about the coronavirus? Well, what I'm going to remember is like, crap, there's a lot of people that died that shouldn't have died, or whatever it may be. We think of that. Well, if we're talking to our kids 20 years from now, what are they going to talk about? They're going to be like, oh, that was the time that we were trapped in our house with our mom and dad.
Right. It's like a big snow day. It's like a month, it's several months long snow day. Right.
Right. And they can say, man, that was the best time of my life or of my childhood. Or they can say, man, my parents really weren't present, and I was, you know, I wasn't doing anything. So I'm just trying to take advantage of it. Do I fail miserably at times? Yeah, I do, and I'm okay with that. But I'm going to get up and try to be the best I can be the next day. So I don't know. That's my whole spiel on this whole quarantine is I'm going to try to take advantage of it. It sucks because I'm not golfing right now, but I get to be around my kids, so that's cool.
All right, Danny Woodhead, thank you so much for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
don't you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very
first and goal to go at the one. Brady, handoff, Woodhead left. Touchdown! Pats have come all the way back.
Unicorns, show ponies, it's time to get crazy. We're getting loopy in Foxborough, and the nut jobs that have stayed. Love every minute of it. That's right.
Holy cow. 92-yard drive.
Boom!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you ever saw Danny Woodhead play in the NFL, did you find out that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy?
I wonder if Danny's even sick of hearing that, because every broadcast they would have to mention that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Give me what you need. It's fun to give me what you need. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, I've been told you have something. This is very exciting.
So last night, the Celtics were set to take on the Memphis Grizzlies before their season was obviously suddenly cut short. But don't tell that to Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell.
Ball across the court. Marcus Smart launches the three. Got it.
Oh-hoo. Marcus is on point yet again.
Kemba Jenkins thinking about it. Celtics have their largest lead up by 9.
Yep. Every night that there was supposed to be a basketball game, Grandy and Max are doing a play-by-play of the simulated version of that game.
How did they get Cedric Maxwell to do that? There has to be money on the table.
Well, okay, so let's get into this. Because, first of all, Wallach found this, and he sent it to me, and I'm like, all right, well, this is just weird. So there's a pretty good website with the worst name ever, CLNS Media. I don't understand why they don't change it. I can never remember what the abbreviations are, what it stands for, but they do some pretty good things. So CLNS Media are paying Grandy and Max to do this every night that there was supposed to be a basketball
game.
Just
hold on a second, Rich. Fred, to answer your question, Maxwell's new podcast is through these people.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they pay him to do a podcast, too. Like, and by the way, apparently Kendrick Perkins does like a recap of the simulated game.
Well, no, he does pre and post game, Rich.
I mean, they're throwing around money.
They got Perk in there to do both.
When it's simulated games, what are you referring to?
NBA Live.
I went to the website, and I couldn't find what they use, but I'm assuming, like you, John, it's like, you know, the whatever version of like a Madden-type game that they use.
Whatever
NBA
EA
Live.
Sports game it is, I'm sure that's what it is.
So they're doing a play-by-play NBA and 2K, just whatever. Doing the commentary.
Ooh,
I mean, it's,
that is how you try to complete the whole thing. The whole banana right there is in your face. You lose the basketball. Critical time. Celtics have the advantage. They can cancel this puppy. You know, I always say about that pressure bust pipes. See how it goes.
Okay.
Well, very
so
good.
He's just as ridiculous when it's a fake game as it is when it's a real game.
He started singing after the game was over last night. I actually caught the end of it. It was very funny, actually.
It's so much different than when he's normally calling games.
Just goes to show he's probably watching it as much.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got 85 chocolate chip cookies in front of him. And yes, I understand that.
I find this fascinating, and it's really interesting. And to be quite honest, I got to admit, it's something the Sports Hub probably should have done. Like, that would have been kind of funny, because these are abbreviated. They don't do, like, I mean, it's like, what, 40 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would have been kind of funny if, you know, at 7 o'clock every night, like, Grandy and Max did, like, a 45-minute version of this, and there was, like, a pre. See, to me, that would actually be somewhat interesting and weird, and they did a good job. But I wonder how many people are going to tune in every night for this.
No one.
I'm
no
kind
one.
Of... Maybe.
No, you think you will. You're not.
Well, I mean, as I said, this was now listening to last night was interesting. Like I was, because here's why.
You know how many people are listening to this show right now? Like two.
See, that you are definitely wrong about. That you're wrong about.
I am.
Yes, you are definitely wrong about that.
Well, I get these very heartfelt emails about like how much it means that we're on the air. But everyone I know that usually listens to the show is like, well, I don't commute anymore, so.
That's why you listen on your smart speaker and say, "Play Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
That's right.
I just sent off a bunch of Alexas if it's being played somewhere. So, but the thing about these guys doing play by play of a simulated game is apparently they go all in as if this is an away game, and because they would have been in Memphis last night. Mm-hmm. And they kind of go all in with
this. You don't like it. What are you talking about? Every time we talk about it, you always say, I don't have anything to do. There's nothing to eat. They fry all their food. That's the first thing you tell me.
Well, first of all, we flew in yesterday. You can bring food with you into Tennessee, so you don't have to eat all the fried food. But if you're coming here for a weekend, you get the Civil Rights Museum. Those great things. Say, Beale Street's awesome. It's just, you know, not the... remember, I was a Vancouver guy, so... Moving the Grizzlies to Memphis, many consider that the worst trade in NBA history.
Dude, you can't beat that fried catfish they got there. Let's go on with the game, all right?
So they're sitting there talking as if they're in the city.
I mean, okay, I wish you never played me this.
Oh, come on.
We've reached critical mass.
Of course we have. And right now we need anything. And weird wins. Weird wins.
Six-game homestand starts on Friday, Fred, against Portland.
I have been bullish about this going away sooner than most people think. And now you're playing me two grown men. One who's a complete psychopath, and it's not Cedric Maxwell. and they're doing simulations. Now, they have to be getting paid, so I will give them that.
Yes.
Is that there has to be money on the table, that this is not two lunatics sitting there. Now, if it was Grandy, I might think that he was doing this for fun. But since Cedric Maxwell's involved, I know there's money. But, oh, boy.
See, okay.
This is like an apocalypse.
I know. Dude, as I said, weird cells. Now, to me, I don't know who this is who's tweeting me, but somebody is saying that, a little behind-the-scenes knowledge on this, Granny and Max aren't using a video game. They're just making it up for 40 minutes. Which would be even funnier.
That would be wild.
If they were just making all of this up, that would be fantastic. And I don't even know what the situation is where, I mean, I'm sure that they're not anywhere near each other. They're on different, you know, sides of the city. Unless, you know, of course, Cedric Maxwell invited him up to his penthouse apartment, Mr. Sean Grandy, and they watched wrestling together for a while and shared stories.
Drive.
Yes.
That's true.
So I don't know what's going on, but we've all lost our minds. And right now with me, weird wins. So thank you for doing this. I think the station should have done it. And Media, whatever the hell the name is. They got to change.
So you really think that the station should have put on fake games?
Dude, that would have been hysterical. Like it's 7 o'clock every night on the night it's supposed to be.
Like at least when we do stupid garbage, it's like 10 minutes long.
But I would put it upon Sean Grandy to make every game more ridiculous than the one before it just to see how Cedric Maxwell would react. Like, I'd have people, like, you know, like fist fights. I would have, like, people breaking legs.
Out of the two of them, you want Grandy to react?
No, Grandy to be ridiculous and see what Cedric Maxwell says.
Cedric Maxwell's going to say the same things. You think Cedric Maxwell has paid 1 ounce of attention to what Grandy's saying?
No, he's just mentioning food items.
He's got his legs kicked up. He's not listening. I bet he's watching TV. He's got his legs kicked up. He's eating 85 pieces of chocolate cake.
Right, he's watching the Jeffersons. He's just, he's a, he doesn't care. He's just got like some old TV show on. He's got Grandy on mute. You know what he sees? He's got, you know, when you do these things, when you broadcast, you can see when the levels are going up and someone's talking. He's got him on mute. He can just tell when the bounces stop, then it's silence and it's his turn to talk. I have a weird feeling.
And John, is this true? Is that Grandy is such a health freak that he will not eat fried food?
I've heard that. I don't know if that's the case. I haven't spent enough time with him recently. I don't know.
That's well, right, I because mean, you listen, two
the
are...
The proof is in the pudding.
I mean, you
he's
two
a,
are...
He's a very physically fit man, from what I can tell.
So he's, like, jacked when he takes his shirt off? He's,
you know, like a Skip Bayless? That. I have no knowledge of that. I don't
he's
know.
He's like a Skip Bayless, right?
Right.
He's attacking that's right. You two are adversaries.
That's correct.
Is that why you've been running the pit bulls to keep them Grandy?
Just thinking of him, taking him down. That's you've right. got a picture of Sean Grandy on your mirror that you crumple up every morning.
It's a reason we're never in the same room at the same time, boys.
Sparks will fly when the two guys. Oh, you can bring your own food to Memphis.
Yesterday, John Wallach was in the barn. He was, just thinking of Sean Grandy.
Lifting big rocks. Yeah.
No, just lifting books of stats.
That's right. Right
there. The Celtics media guide.
Or he's just lifting a pencil.
You got to start small. You got to ramp up. You know.
Right. He's like, he's practicing serving giant plates of cake to a fake Cedric Maxwell that he has set up in his living room.
A cardboard cutout next to me at the table.
Is anyone else losing a tremendous amount of weight during this?
You know what? At first I was eating too much, and now I'm paranoid about I hate having to go to the grocery store. And so I'm eating maybe 3/4 to the amount of food that I used to. Like, I don't snack anymore because I don't want to have to go to the grocery store.
At my highest, I was 222, and now I'm like 200 pounds. I've lost like 20 pounds in the last like month.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That's not supposed to happen, Fred.
And I'm not even drinking as much as I thought I was going to.
Oh, like- no, I am. I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, I put it on Instagram. I think I responded to someone, and it's like, I don't know anyone who's like, not an alcoholic right now.
See, there's this weird thing inside of me that's telling me I need to be on my game in case, like, somebody gets sick, and it's real. And I don't, listen, there's no really rational reason for that, but I just, there's something every time I want to drink, like, more than one beer that goes, like, maybe not. Maybe, you know, kind of stay on the level here, just in case.
I've talked to friends that never really drink, and then I had a guy call me yesterday, and by the way, people are, like, calling now, which is interesting, but he called me, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, sitting around. And he's like, I'm on like my fifth, like Tanqueray and tonic. And I'm like, you don't even drink. And he's like, well, now I do. I don't know. I don't know very many people that are not drinking. So, Rich, you were in the. And by the way, I wasn't drinking. And then you two said now is the time not to stop. And
I know.
I've been using that as the measurement.
And now I can't get my. This should almost be a free pass to drink, and I have found myself, I don't know, subconsciously saying, I think I'm good, and maybe that will all change.
Well,
it probably will.
I mean, good for you.
No, it's not. Listen, it's not good. It's weird. I'd like to drink.
No, it's better. I mean, I'm not joking. It's better. I mean, you're doing the right thing.
No.
I mean, listen. I'm not getting like annihilated. I'm not like, you know, falling down the stairs, but. After hearing dribbling in the house for 2 hours, one cares for a alcoholic beverage at that point. Boom, 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 boom. And then I got to take him out to play around the world every time. Oh, so my daughter yesterday, she goes, she's like real like sweet, you know? And she's like... can I swear? And we're out like just three of us playing basketball. And she goes, can I swear? And we're at a elementary school. And I go, sure. And she goes, and she says the swear, but she goes, F you, Milo, and screams it. And like people are looking And
I'm like, now, did she say F or did she say the word?
Oh, she said the word.
Oh, my God.
But she's like, can I swear? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, who cares? And because I thought she was just going to, like, joke around and swear. But she just screamed the F word. And then she screamed a bunch of other swears.
She'd been holding back.
And there was people, like, all around.
The dam burst. She had parental approval.
Yeah, because my son does it, you know, on the regular. But my daughter very sweetly asked if she could swear. And then she just screamed at him. Huh. So, yeah. You know what they do? Is they fight. Hmm. Constantly. Yeah. And then when they're not fighting, they dribble basketballs. And people are like, you gotta punish it. I'm like, no kidding. I've got to punish them. I punish them. They don't listen. All right. We got two breaks. Okay. Oh, yeah. We got... Dan, I'm off my game. Come on, boy.
Can I have a clock delivered to your house, perhaps?
Shut up.
No one's listening. Two breaks, yes.
We also have a bankroll boy here, guys.
No one's listening to the show. All right.
That's true.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Wars.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, this chef.
What is this? What game show is this?
Press your luck,
baby.
All right.
No whammies. No whammies.
Stop.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are touching Peter Tamarkin, the host of that, if I recall
correctly.
Yeah,
no. Good call.
One of the all-time great cheats. A guy who figured out the pattern that the little box went, where he ended up getting no whammies. He memorized the pattern that must have taken him... I mean, think how many episodes you had to watch to memorize the pattern of that box.
And think of how much money he made and how, if you took it by hour, it was probably less than minimum wage. We are 98.5, the Sports Hub. Joe Murray, one of the Bankroll Boys. Joe, I'm setting you up. Who's the sponsor, baby?
Bankroll Boys brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code SPORTSHUB during sign-up. To try DraftKings for free, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, so here we go, Joe Murray. We are at a very, if you're a gambler, this is a very dark time. There is not a lot. Now, if you have not heard, am bullish about sports getting back in May. But as is Mark Cuban, and him and I share very, vaguely the same amount of wealth. But... what is going on with you now? And what have you resorted to, if anything?
Blackjack online. So poker or blackjack.
I used to do that during my show in Atlanta. I used to play blackjack online.
I would never play blackjack online, and here's why. Is when Norm MacDonald came in studio, he was addicted to online poker. And what he ended up doing was building a bankroll that he told us was over six figures. Mm. And remember when all of the offshore betting sites went down and like the government like ended up pulling them away? They ended up taking all of his money. So he had, I think that it's not just what he had won. I think he said that of his own money, he had like had $100,000 invested.
It was like $250,000.
Well, yeah, he said six figures. So you're right. It was more than 100. So yeah, you're probably right. Probably like 250. And just gone. Gone, because all those websites got their stuff seized and those people disappeared to these islands. So, no, I'm very scared.
Things have changed nowadays. Like, now it's just a weekly, whatever you actually put in the credit now, and whatever it is at the end of the week, you cash out.
So you can do blackjack?
Yeah, like, yeah, blackjack, poker, there's all sorts of things.
Because I know you can bet. I guess it would make sense. I mean, if you can do, like, sports betting, you know.
Here's the problem, though, when you're playing online blackjack, is that it doesn't seem like real money.
Yeah.
So, like, you're putting – I would put, like, two – I wasn't making any very much money, and I put, like, I'd put, like, $1,500 on a hand. And just doing ridiculous crap, and then you got to. And then if you split or double down, you're like, "Oh boy, I'm in for three grand." But that's what you're doing now, Joe. Now,
yeah,
because online blackjack, I would imagine, moves fast.
It does. The only thing I don't like is every once in a while there's a glitch, meaning like I'll have 20 and I'm sitting there like, oh, I got this, and somehow 21 pops up for the dealer. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that could have happened when I had these cards. So, yeah, every once in a while there's a glitch, but it's fun. It just takes up time. But it's, you know, I used to play solitaire to kill time. Like, these things blow fast. I play $5 games, so I try not to, you know, if I did $50 or $100 hands, I'd lose my load quick.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
Dude, I hate even at a casino playing a slot that's computerized. Because you don't know who's controlling what. I mean, if you're obviously set to lose, I know there's a certain percentage that they have to pay off or pay out. But I mean, I like it a lot better sitting across from an actual dealer.
Well, everyone does. I mean, but this is just a necessity right now.
I mean, beggars can't be choosers. Degenerates can't be choosers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you can't, you know, in Atlanta there was no casinos. I mean, you got what you got. So, is there anything? Because, Joe, there's ESPN has been showing, and I don't know if they're old ones, but they've been showing like things like hamburger eating contests.
Yep. Yeah, the Ocho. Those were old ones. I don't think any of those were new.
Okay, so you can't gamble on those.
No, can't gamble on any of that. I was watching the Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, like old fights from back in the day, and I just went out of my way to find out like what the actual lines were for these games. Like the 87, I watched the 87 NBA Finals, you know, game four, Celtics at home. I'm like, oh, what was the line on this game? So I've been doing that, looking into it, but for the most part, I've taken a break, man. I mean, I know Lifshatz is like, you know, still doing that Belarus soccer. I think he's like 9-2 with his model.
Dude, I killed. Last week, I made another $300 from the Degenerate Special. It was some team, Electric City or something like
that. Yeah, it was called like Electric Boogaloo versus, you know.
But I won. Like, I'm up a lot thanks to these crappy games that Lifshatz is like a magician when it comes to really cruddy, like, international soccer in countries that you've never heard of.
Well,
like, he kills.
He develops these methods of gambling that are foolproof. That's right. So, Joe, you don't even take his advice and dabble in that?
No, I don't even. You know, it's funny. Some of my book hasn't taken a lot of that stuff. Like some other sites, like Bovada, will have that. DraftKings definitely has those things because they're still going right now. Like, that's the one thing is, with everything that's happening, they still have their stuff up there every day trying to take stuff. Like, for instance, this weekend, and, you know, Rich, I popped in your Instagram Live last night. I had to watch that.
Oh, no, yeah, I got bored. I did an Instagram Live.
But the Marlboro won. It's the marble contest.
Oh, nice.
So, like, this is like a big thing. You can bet on that this weekend.
Is it live? So this is a live sport, right?
Yes, and I know that Gel makes these tracks. I think it's been happening the last 3 years. So the first year, the winner won. They were the runner-up the second year. They're the favorite this year.
All right.
So,
What about Lego Masters? Can you bet on Lego Masters?
I'm sure somewhere you can. I haven't seen
it. They're down to three teams, fellas.
Am I putting my money on the bearded boys, or am I putting it on the married couple? Because the married couple kills it every single time, and they're sympathetic because the producers have a little something to do with it because she's pregnant.
Nah, the bearded guys are Pacific Northwest. They won four challenges in a row. You got to like them, Rich.
I don't know, but Boone, when he uses electric stuff to make things move with his Lego sets, they've had malfunctions
in the
past.
That's a problem.
Yet the married couple is they've been perfect from day one.
The bridge building was really good.
Well, the bridge building was, I mean, if you can put 1,000 pounds on a bridge, I mean, they wouldn't.
There you go, Fred.
What do you think I'm doing all day?
I'm proud of you.
Lego Masters is legit. is legit.
That is a very good show. I like it a lot.
They couldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't put any more weight. It was like. It was just impossible. There was too much danger.
A big elimination, though, last night, boys. The great technical builders.
Don't tell me. Spoiler alert.
The show happened already.
Don't tell me.
All right.
So, guys, I kind of buried the lead, but Dan Lifshatz has a PS4 NBA 2K simulation tournament going on right now.
Is Grandy doing the play-by-play with Cedric Maxwell?
So that's what I don't know, but I was somebody tweeted me the same thing last night. I've known the guys over at CLNS for years, and like somehow to get those guys as a get, that's pretty good.
Tell them to change their name. But it's the worst name ever.
Yeah, they used to do a thing called Celtics Late Night Show. That's how it started, and then they never changed it. But Nick Gelso is a good dude. He's been running that for years. But yeah, they never changed it, long story short.
All right, well, later on today, I will do another Instagram Live for you if you want it. I've been tossing my dog snacks and seeing how many out of five he can catch. So if you want to bet on something, maybe around noon.
What did we get? Three out of five?
No, four out of five. He was good.
Lifshatz crushed the over. He had it at 3.5, and he was 4 out of 5. So we'll do that today right around noon. I'll do an Instagram Live with my dog catching snacks, how many he'll be able to do. You got something to bet on.
Right. All right, I'm into it.
Will your book take that?
I'll take it.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe Murray. We've basically come to the conclusion there's nothing to gamble on.
This is more a wellness check on you, Joe. You realize that, right?
Appreciate it. Thank you. I need it. And we're on Saturday at 7 this week. For
all right. Talk about nothing.
Yep. The Over-Under Podcast is also up there on 985thesportshub.com. When we come back, one of the great moments, and there is at least a dozen, from the show, and we will have that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.